If you're able today, let's stand together in honor of the reading of the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and we were all dead in trespasses and sins. That he died for us all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Just a real quick checkup on your soul, if you want to know where you're at in this thing, are you saved or lost, who you live for? That's where the rubber meets the road. Who do you live for? There's multitudes of people in the Baptist church that really, in their mind, they're convinced they live for God, and they're deceived. They're deceived. Just look at their life. Just look at their life. And I had a real dear friend that was, before God saved him, was an international drug smuggler. And he told me one day, he said, when God was dealing with my heart, he said, the day God saved me, God... And he had made a profession of faith. He made a profession of faith under Sammy Allen at Pine Mountain Camp Meeting. Been baptized, joined the church, all that good stuff. And he said, when God was dealing with me, I believe the day that he saved him, he said, God spoke to my heart and said, Keith, you ought to know you're lost by the way you lived. You say, why don't people know they're lost by the way they live? They're blinded. They're blinded. Why do people in America today have some of the views that they have when it comes to the political matters that are so prevalent in front of us today? Why can some people be so far off the mark? I can tell you, they're blinded. They can't see. And until God removes those blinders, they're just going to get worse and worse. Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." That's talking about as far as Judaism is concerned. "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." I want to share a little bit with you this morning, and I want to talk to you out of this verse as a springboard about salvation, regeneration, and reconciliation. There's so much to be said about the word salvation, to be saved, to be rescued, to be redeemed, and all that goes along with the word saved. And we use that word in the Baptist church as well we should. Saved. We say, I'm saved, or they're saved, or somebody got saved, or Jesus saved sinners. That's good information. That's good words to use, the word saved, but there's so much more to it than most folks think or most folks understand. And there are two things that accompany God's salvation that are inseparable, that cannot be taken away from God's salvation, and that is the word regeneration. A lot of folks get the idea, and I'm not sure how this came about, but it's a trick of the devil, that if somebody comes to an altar, if they cry, if they pray, if they ask God to save them, then that is salvation. That is what salvation is. I'm sorry, but you're deceived if you believe for a minute that that is what salvation is. That very well may be a part of what took place in your salvation, but that's not what salvation is. And that's why our Pentecostal friends and our Armenian friends get the idea that so many people can come to an altar and cry and have a large emotional experience And they come to church a week or two, but then first thing you know, they're back out in the world talking like they've always talked, acting like they've always acted, going to the places they've always gone to, and then they say, well, they lost their salvation. No, they never had salvation in the first place. Stop equating somebody coming to an altar with that being salvation. No, it is not. That may be a tremendous part of what happened to you the day you got saved or the night you got saved. But coming to an altar is not salvation. There are things that accompany God's salvation, and that is regeneration. The word regeneration by definition means to be produced anew. To reproduce, to renew the heart by a change of affections, a change of the heart and the affections from the natural enmity to the love of God, to implant holy affections in the heart, to change from the natural to the spiritual state, and therefore to give a new nature. Salvation changes your nature just as much as if you were to take a thoroughbred horse from the Kentucky Derby and put that horse's nature in a Jersey cow. It's a change of nature. And God, when He saves any individual, it matters not who you are or where you came from. When God changes you, He changes your nature. That change begins on the inside, and then it ultimately shows up on the outside. I see a lot of folks that do what I did when I was a kid, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to clean up the outside to make it look good. But the fact of the matter is, if you get the inside good and clean, that outside part will change on its own. It'll come natural. Regeneration. How does regeneration take place? How does this new nature come about? There's more to it than just the fact that the Holy Ghost of God comes to live inside of a newborn believer. He does. He does come to live inside. The day, or the night rather, that I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of me. But that is not the new man. That is not the, I do have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, but that is not the new man. The new man is the recreation or the new creation or the regeneration of that old man. My old man was dead in trespasses and sins, and God regenerated me. He rebuilt me, renovated me, and made me a new person in Christ Jesus. That is apart from the fact that the Holy Spirit does live inside of me. But God changed me. How does regeneration take place? It takes place by faith and repentance. By faith and repentance. Faith and repentance are absolutely inseparable. You cannot take them apart. You say, preacher, how do I know if I have faith or not? Well, did you repent? Because if you repented, you got faith. You say, how do I know if I repented or not? Well, did you trust Christ by faith? If you trusted Christ by faith, you repented. Those things cannot be separated. They go together. And I say this often, and I mean it with all my heart. You say, which is more important, faith or repentance? Well, which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? Because one don't work without the other. And as I look at this, I see the word faith. And I wrote this down, and I've probably stated this before, but I'm not going real deep, and I'm not going real far today. I'm going to take you somewhere real specific. And there's something I want you to get a hold of, and I want you to understand this. I mean, I really want you to get this. Faith has a couple of different definitions. We use the word faith to mean a system of religion. You say, what is your, well, my faith is the Baptist faith. That means that's the Baptist system of religion. Well, somebody's faith is Muslim faith. Well, that is the Muslim form of religion. That's one word for faith. But that's not saving faith. Saving faith has to do with substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I want to give you a simple definition of the word faith to help you get a hold of this. Because I think a lot of folks don't understand the word believe. What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus? Well, it means to have faith in the Lord Jesus. But what does it mean? Because I was building a house a while back, just a few years ago. I was building a house, and this old boy I'd hired to come and do some framing for me, he brought a crew of about 14 Mexicans with him one day. And they literally had my house under roof. I mean, the whole thing completely under roof in 3 days. And you talk about working together. This crowd could work together. And I was standing there watching them one day, and the guy who I'd hired, who was a Caucasian guy, Anglo guy that I'd known for years, and we were just standing there, and we were watching these Mexican guys working. He felt somehow compelled to tell me, "They're saved." And I don't know why he felt compelled to tell me that, other than the fact he knew I was a preacher and that's my life. And he said, "They believe in Jesus." Well, what do you do with that? Where do you go with that? Do you know where to go with that? I'm going to help you know where to go with that. All right, can you stay with me 1 minute? I won't be at this long, and we're going to go to the house. What is faith? Faith is trust or confidence in the word of another based solely, entirely on the merit of the one who said it. Now, let me tell you that again, because I want to make sure you know what faith is. Faith is trust or confidence in the word of another based solely and entirely upon the merit of the one who said it. When I look back at my life, I was born into a Baptist preacher's home. I was raised a preacher's kid. I never knew anything my whole life except going to church. Church was my life from the time I was a child. And I was taught about Jesus, and I can remember as just a little boy getting out of bed on Christmas morning, and before I ever ran to a Christmas tree and before I ever opened the first package, I can remember very distinctly one Christmas laying in that bed and saying, "Happy birthday, Jesus." And in the innocence of my heart, I believed in Jesus Christ all of my life. There is not a conscious, cognitive part of my thinking, understanding, remembrance of my past that I did not believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross of Calvary. I believe He was virgin born. I believed He lived a sinless life. I believe He died on the cross to pay the debt for sinners, and I believe Jesus would save your soul. And I would have busted hell wide open 10,000 times between the time I first understood anything and the time I was 25 years old and I believed all that stuff. Can you get a hold of the fact this morning that underneath of our feet in the center of this earth there are people in hell screaming for a drop of water today that believe everything you believe? That does not make you saved. That is not faith. That is not what faith is. Why is that? Because the first 25 years of my life, everything I believed about Jesus, I believed that God was one day going to judge sin. I believed in heaven and I believed in hell and I believed the doctrines of the truths of the Word of God. I believed and I had a lot of intellectual head knowledge about the truths of the Scripture. I was raised in a family where we had family altar every night. I do not know, Miss Tammy, at what age as a child I had read the Scriptures from beginning to end, because every single night laying at the foot of my mom and daddy's bed, it was my job from the time I was old enough to read. I helped learn to read from the Scripture. And I read that book every night at my mom and daddy's bed, every night. And we prayed, and I prayed first, and then my sister, my brother had already left home early, and then my mother, and then my daddy every single night, family altar every night. There's no telling, Sister Pat, how early an age I'd read the entire scripture. And I believed it. I believed it. You say, Brother Mike, did you believe it sincerely? As sincerely as possible, I believed it. And I'd have still went to hell. Because that ain't what faith is. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Faith is trust or confidence in the word of another based solely and entirely on the merit of the one who said it. And for the first 25 years of my life, everything I believed about God, everything I believed about His salvation, His Son Jesus, was based on the merits of those who told me. It was based on the merits of my daddy who told me. It was based on the merits of my mama who told me. It was based on the merits of my Sunday school teachers who told me. But faith must be based upon something. And Jeremy, I thought about our conversation and we were talking about somebody saying, you know, their faith. Their faith. All faith must be based upon something. But everybody's faith ain't based on the same thing. Because for the first 25 years of my life, my faith was based on the merits of the people who told me what they told me. There came a time in my life that Brother Danny, as a 12-year-old boy, I have no idea how people got a hold of this, but somehow, please don't be this ignorant. I was around a lot of folks that honestly, in their heart, they believed that somehow or another that they used this terminology, the age of accountability. You ever heard that? That ain't a Bible term. Nobody get that out of this book. That did not come out of this Bible. Don't be dumb. And they talk about that. Well, what is the age of accountability? There is no such thing as the age of accountability. There is a time when you become accountable for what you know, but that's not an age. It has nothing to do with your age. It has to do with God's revealed truth. And if God reveals His truth to you when you're 8 years old, then you're accountable at 8 years old. If God reveals His truth to you at 16 years old or 36 years old, it's about when God reveals His truth to you, then you become accountable. It's not an age. But I was told that 12 years old is the age of accountability. You're old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, so you're old enough to go to hell and you're accountable. And I was told that you need to get saved. And Brother Chip, that put an enormous amount of pressure on a 12-year-old boy. Because all my buddies had been to the altar. Now, are you seeing what I'm saying? The pressure was on, honey. The pressure was on because all my little 12-year-old, 13-year-old buddies had already come to the altar. They'd already prayed a prayer. Most of them lost as a goose, but they'd been to the altar and prayed a prayer, been baptized, and there I was. I hadn't. And the pressure's on. The pressure's on. And I believe I'm lost. You know why I believe it? Because I trust the merits of the people who are telling me I'm lost. My mama's told me I'm lost. My daddy's telling me I'm lost. And they didn't mean any harm. They were concerned for my soul. They were just wrong. They were just wrong. There was something they were missing. They were missing something here. And I believed I was lost because they told me I was lost. They told me I was saved, and therefore I believed I was saved because I've been to the altar, and that's what salvation is, ain't it? I mean, ain't that what salvation is? Going to the altar, praying, crying. If you cry, well, you're bound to be saved. I'm sorry, that's not faith. Ephesians 2, verse number 8 says, "For by grace are you saved. Through faith." Listen to this, Eric. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How'd you get faith? If you got it, it's because God gave it to you. Faith must, by necessity, be based on something. I've told you this before. If I came to church this morning and I thought, praise God, one of them precious, sweet ladies, they're so kind and they're so good. I'm going to church this morning and one of them has brought me a banana pudding. Here's the question. What am I basing that on? Just because I wanted banana pudding? That don't make it faith. Now, if one or two of them had got together and said, preacher, you're going to be here for sure tomorrow, right? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be here. You still like banana pudding, don't you? Oh, yeah, I like. You like that kind with a cow slobber on top, right? Oh, yeah. All right, you be here tomorrow. Guess what? I would have something to base my belief and my trust on, right? What are you basing this thing on? What are you basing your eternity on? What do you base it on? Because I spent the first 25 years of my life basing my eternity on the confidence that I had in the merits of the people that had told me all these things about God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means that God imparts saving faith, trusting Christ on the merits of what God said in His Word. And when God puts that in you, there came a time in my life, this word had been put in me from the time I was a child, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, Paul told his son Timothy, and that book had been put in my heart all my life. But God had never spoke to my heart. And I had never trusted Him by faith because I had never heard His voice. Oh, I'd heard my daddy's voice. I'd heard my mama's voice. I heard my Sunday school teacher's voice. I heard a lot of people's voice. But I ain't heard from the one that counts. Because I can't base my eternity on my daddy. And I can't base my eternity on my mama. And I can't base my eternity on my friends, no matter how much they love me or how much they care for me. It's got to be based on this book, on the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So what is saving faith? Saving faith. Let me ask you two questions real quick. We're going to go to the house in a minute. Let me ask you this. Through the preaching of the Word of God, through the services of God, the Holy Spirit shows up and magnifies the Lord Jesus. And God's in our presence and God's in our midst. And God gets on the preacher, lets the man of God rear back and preach this book. Has God, the Holy Ghost, ever spoke to your heart and told you you were lost? Because if anybody other than Him told you, it ain't got nothing to do with faith. Your first step of faith is God's going to have to tell you you're lost. Boy, that terrifies people. That terrifies people. And thus it should. But it's part of it. And God's got to show you you're lost. And your first step of faith is trusting. Trust, confidence in the word of another based solely and entirely upon the merit of the one who said it. And God said, you're lost, and in your heart you're agreeing, you're saying, yep. God, you're right. Ain't no use for me to kick against this. Ain't no use for me to fight this. God, you're right. Guess what? You're exercising faith. God gave you faith. And then the next step of that faith has got... Can I ask y'all, you don't have to answer out loud, but I just want to know, because I really want you to know, when do you get lost? When did you get lost? Because if you've ever been lost, you got lost because God the Holy Ghost told you you're lost. That's how this thing works. God's got to tell you you're lost, and Jesus has got to speak to your heart and say, will you trust me and come to me? Will you trust me and come to me? And then when you come to Christ by faith, whether you open your mouth or whether you never get your mouth open, and it's only with your heart, it may be with your heart and it may be with your voice, you say, Lord, I'll trust you. I'll come to you. God knows what's going on in your heart. And by faith, you're not trusting what Preacher Mike said. You're not trusting what Sister Lori said. You're not trusting in what your mama and your daddy said or your Sunday school teachers or anybody else. But in your heart, you're trusting the one who's calling. You're trusting Christ. You say, how can I know I've trusted Christ? Well, is he the one calling? Because, hey, if he's telling you you're lost and you're saying, no, I ain't, guess what? You ain't trusting. If he's telling you you missed this thing somewhere down the line and you're arguing back and forth and saying, no, God, I won't have it. That can't be right. I had a lady when God was moving mightily, mightily. And I mean God was moving in revival on Flint Hill. And I sat in my driveway one Saturday morning. I literally saw a woman under conviction come walking out of the woods weeping like a baby. And she went down to the house, and Sister Lori and I sat and we talked with her. And we tried to pray with her and we tried to talk to her. And that woman was under conviction. She's lost. She's unregenerate without God. There's no evidence whatsoever she's ever been saved. Even less so now than then. And she looked at me and she looked at my wife that day under Holy Ghost conviction, weeping because God has tore her up. And this is what she said, Brother Danny. She said, I just cannot believe I'm lost. I just cannot believe I'm lost. Well, you missed the first step to getting saved. Because the first step in trusting Christ is when he tells you you're lost. And then when he tells you you're lost, you're lost. You see, I can tell you you're lost all day long, you just get mad at me. And some have, and some do. Many have over the years. And you just get mad at me. But when God tells you you're lost, it's a whole different deal. And God has got to speak to your heart and tell you you're lost. But the Lord Jesus has to call and give you the invitation and say, if you'll trust me, if you'll come to me, I'll fix you. I'll help you. And I'm asking you this today, have you ever been lost? I mean, have you ever been lost? Not that you just felt like you were lost or that you wondered whether or not you were lost, that God spoke to your heart. And in the vernacular of the common tongue today, God rocked your world. Eddie, I can take you back to where God rocked my world. But I can take you back to the place also where Jesus said, if you'll come to me, if you'll trust me, I'll fix you. You can cast your care on me. And I cannot explain it why, Brother Danny, because the whole thing's supernatural. God takes something that's not even believable, that's unbelievable, and he makes it believable in your heart. And what it is when God saves your soul, has nothing to do with you coming to an altar necessarily. Has nothing to do with you praying some prayer, you know, that somebody's modeled and fashioned for you to pray this prayer. But it has to do with by faith you trust in Christ based on the merits of his word. God's word said you're lost and it's okay, God. I'm going to run up my white flag. I'm going to lay down my arms of rebellion. I'm going to stop fighting against you, God. I'm lost. There's some of you sitting here right now, your world, you have no idea what a wonderful world you could live in if you could just run that flag up and say, God, I surrender. I'm through fighting. I quit. I ain't going to fight you no more. God, I believe you. I trust you. You told me I'm lost, and I'm not going to fight it no more. I'm lost. And then when Jesus said, will you come to me? He said, as many as come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Listen, the Lord Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man will open unto me, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The Lord Jesus made you some promises in his. That's what faith of salvation is based on. What did Jesus say? Did you trust him based on the merits of what he told you in your heart? You say, I don't believe God's ever spoke to me. Well, then you just sit still, buddy. Your awakening's coming. Your day will come. He will awaken you.